Good afternoon. This is the Chorus Call conference operator. Welcome, and thank you for joining the De'Longhi third quarter 2015 consolidated results conference call. After the presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Mr. Fabio De'Longhi, Chief Executive Officer. Please go ahead, sir.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Fabio De'Longhi speaking. I'm here with Fabrizio Micheli, Marco Visconti, and Stefano Biella attending the call. Welcome to the De'Longhi Group 2015 nine months results conference call. As usual, we will go through the results highlights first, leaving then room for Q&A session. Before commenting the figures, I would like to kick off today's call by highlighting that quarter three was another quarter of stronger revenue growth, continuing along the positive route experienced in the first half of the year. At the same time, however, during the quarter, foreign exchange headwinds increased significantly in relation with the depreciation of many of the group's exporting currencies against the euro. Despite these challenges, thanks to a combination of strong organic growth, improving mix, and price increases, De'Longhi was capable to continue to deliver EBITDA growth. We also want to highlight that over the nine-month period, the small domestic appliance industry experienced continued growth on a global basis, with the trend of espresso coffee makers being particularly positive. Such underlying strength of our industry remains a key pillar for the group's future prospects. At the same time, we are pleased to see that the group is consistently outperforming the industry, gaining market shares across different product categories, reinforcing its leadership positions worldwide. However, the general market context is not immune to shadows. Certain markets are characterized by very challenging conditions, linked, among other things, to unstable or uncertain political situations. Moreover, foreign exchange rates fluctuations continue to be one of the key negative factors for all the major players. Both revenues and margins continue to be affected by currencies, although the impact is opposite. Revenue benefit from depreciation of the euro against many currencies, which more than compensates the weakness of Russian ruble and Ukraine hryvnia, leading to an overall positive FX impact. In this respect, however, it's worth noticing that the positive FX impact on revenues has significantly reduced from half one, 2015. On the margin side instead, operating margins suffered from a negative FX impact, driven by the appreciation against the euro of two very important sourcing currencies, the US dollar and the Chinese yuan, and despite the proactive management of hedging the currency risk, which contributed to significantly limiting the overall FX negative impact. Despite the challenging environment, the group is continuing to implement its growth strategies, investing in A&P and R&D in order to support the high-end positioning of its brands and products. Finally, before moving on the numbers, I want to add that the first nine months witnessed also the launch of some important new products, like the new De'Longhi Nespresso Lattissima Touch, the new ironing systems range of Braun, the new cooking food processor of Kenwood, and a new version of the low-oil fryer multi-cooker, De'Longhi Multifry. Moving on now to the group performance, nine months revenues reached 1,215 million, increasing by 11.8%, or by 8.2% at constant exchange rates. By geography, Europe had a positive performance, growing by 9.2%, despite a very negative impact from sales in Russia and Ukraine, affected by an adverse macroeconomic scenario and by a sharp devaluation of Russian ruble and Ukraine's hryvnia. Within Europe, the Northeast Europe area recorded a 3.8% growth, led by Poland, Czech Republic, Slovakia, and Hungary, while Russia and Ukraine were declining. Excluding Russia and Ukraine, growth for the Northeast Europe would have been 11.7% positive over the last year, 9 months. The Southwest Europe area revenues grew double digit at 12.6%, particularly thanks to Italy, Germany, and Switzerland. Revenues in Middle East, India, and Africa were negatively affected by the persistent political instability in many important countries. However, thanks to a positive currency effect, revenues were up by 6.6%. The Asia Pacific and Americas area revenues reported FX tailwinds, which partly contributed to a very strong revenue increase versus 2014, +21.9%. Almost all of the countries in the area recorded higher sales. By product, the third quarter has confirmed the standout performance of espresso coffee makers seen in the first half of 2015. Coffee growth was again driven by internally manufactured models such as fully automatic coffee machines, Nespresso Latissima range, Dolce Gusto Jovia, and traditional pump machines. The cooking and food preparation segment was another important positive contributor, thanks essentially to fryers, as well as toasters, kettles, blenders, and food processors. The ironing segment confirmed its positive trend, thanks to the contribution of Braun branded irons, benefiting from the first impact of the newly launched Braun ironing system range, officially presented at IFA trade show in September. In the comfort segment, a relatively warm summer in several important markets supported performance of portable air conditioners, which more than compensated for a decline of portable heaters. Finally, Braun continues to deliver double-digit growth despite the headwinds represented by Russia and the ruble depreciation. Looking now at profit margins, a strong organic growth coupled with price increases and positive mix allow the group to increase its operating margins despite a very unfavorable and worsening FX impact. The net industrial margin increased from 510 million to 572 million euros, from 47% to 47.1% of revenues. EBITDA reached 150 million euros from 137 million in 2014, increasing by 9.7%, but declining as a percentage of revenues from 12.6% to 12.3% due to a negative FX impact. Over the nine-month period, the negative foreign exchange impact was worth -29 million on the net industrial margin and -42 million on EBITDA. At constant exchange rates, net industrial margin would have reached 601 million, 51.1% of revenues, up from 47% in 2014, while EBITDA would have increased to 192 million, 16.3% of revenues, up from 12.6% the previous year. To this regard, recent FX fluctuations led us to update our previous indication of expected FX impact at EBITDA level from about -30 million to about -50 million for the fiscal year of 2015. Going back now to reported figures, EBIT reached 112 million versus 103 million in 2014. A slight decline as a percentage of revenues, 9.2% versus 9.5% in 2014, due to the negative FX impact, as well as to higher D&A, increased by 4.7 million euros, linked to the significant industrial investment made by the group in Romania and China. Net financial charges were 27 million, down from 30 million, thanks to lower bank charges and lower costs from the receivables sales program. Finally, net income pertaining to the group reached 62 million, up from 54 million in 2014. Let's take a look now to some of the key balance sheet items. As of September 30, 2015, the group was in a net cash position of 64 million, which represented a 162 million improvement over the 12 months, from a starting point of a net debt position of 97 million as of end of September 2014. The net financial position versus banks and third-party lenders is positive by some 90 million, improving by 147 million over the 12 months. These figures excluded accounting entries relative to the Brown earn-out, the fair value derivatives and options, and the U.K. pension plans. Over the nine-month period from January 1st to September 30th, 2015, the net financial position decreased by about 25 million as a consequence of the normal seasonal cash absorption linked to the working capital cycle, as well as of the industrial investment, 39 million, and of dividends paid, 61 million. The cash absorption for the first nine months of the last year was about minus 88 million. Working capital management was indeed very effective, leading as of September 30th, 2015, to a net working capital worth 280 million, down from 19.6% to 15.1% of the last 12 rolling months, mainly thanks to a positive evaluation, sorry, evolution of the net trade working capital. The net trade working capital, which excludes non-operating current assets and liabilities, was equal to 18% of the last 12-month rolling revenues, down from 21.8% as of September 30th, 2014, thanks to a favorable trend for trade receivables and inventory. With this, my overview of the results is over, and I will now move to comment on outlook and guidance for the fiscal year 2015. First of all, I think that the first nine months of 2015 have been very strong, and in certain areas, they've been even exceeding our internal expectations. Performance of the espresso coffee maker business was impressive, a true testament to the De'Longhi's unique positioning, leading each single sub-segment of the espresso spectrum, both in fully automatic, capsules, or traditional pump espresso machines. De'Longhi is the number one brand with increasing market shares. Coffee performance, coupled with continued growth at the food preparation and cooking appliances, contributing making the overall kitchen segment more and more important to the group. At the same time, the seasonal cash absorption of the first nine months period was very limited, especially considering the working capital cycle, the dividends paid, and the CapEx incurred during the period. Compared to the previous guidance of organic revenues growth of mid to high single digit for the full year 2015, now we expect organic growth to be in the high single digit range. As far as reported EBITDA is concerned, we expect EBITDA to expand also in quarter four, which is consistent with our full year 2015 guidance of an EBITDA expansion in absolute terms, although not as a percentage of revenues, despite expectations of a more negative FX scenario. With this, my introduction is over, and I leave now room to the Q&A session. Thank you.
Excuse me, this is the Chorus Call conference operator. We will now begin the question and answer session. The first question is from Nicolò Pessina of Mediobanca. Please go ahead, sir.
Hi, good afternoon, everyone. I have four questions. The first one regards the Forex impact and your expectations for 2016, and maybe if we can have an update on the hedging policies in place for next year. Secondly, since you mentioned a favorable price mix in the press release, I'm wondering if it would be possible to have a split of organic growth between volume and price mix. Third, maybe some color on the performance of Braun. And lastly, on Campbell Kitchen Machines in particular, I perceive still some weakness after an approximately minus 4% report in the first half of the year. Therefore, I'm wondering if you could update us on this product category, the reason maybe behind this weakness, and if you plan any specific action for recovery. Thank you.
Okay, sorry, just to recap your questions about guidance and hedging for 2016, volume versus mix for say the 9 months, some color on Braun, and also an update about current trade of Kenwood and recovery on kitchen machines. So, first question about hedging for 2016. Indeed, we moved on in the past months in hedging for 2016. We have hedged the dollar at a rate which is about 1.13. So for next year we expect further impact of negative exchange rates, and the time being we expect negative headwinds in exchange rates for approximately 50 million euros. Obviously this is just a rough indication. We see things may change very rapidly, very suddenly. It happened already in 2015, so we think also this number may vary in the next month. But the good news is that we are hedged against the dollar in 1.13, and at the time being, we expect the negative headwinds for approximately 50 million euros again. For the 9 months, volumes versus mix at EBITDA level, let's say that about 25 million of improvement were due to volumes, about 22 million prices, improvement, as a better cost for approximately 15 million, also positive mix for about 12 million. And obviously, we had a negative exchange rates for about 42 million. Other negative impacts in other items for the remainder, bringing up EBITDA from 136 to 149. In terms of Braun, color on Braun, we are very happy about Braun. Braun is very well integrated. MPD is getting stronger and stronger. We are very happy about the new product introduction. ironing systems are performing very well. Also, food preparation is doing very well. So now we are growing double digit, which is in line with our, let's say, original plan. So frankly, I think that the results are pretty good, considering that Russia was the most important market for Braun, and having such a difficult Russian market is obviously a major constraint and a major headwind for Braun. But despite the issue of the Russian market, Braun is growing in line with our plans and expectations, which is a very good note for us. On Kenwood, I think that for years we were, say, relying as a group on a very strong performance of Kenwood, led by favorable results on kitchen machines. For the first time, kitchen machines are slightly negative. Now current trading is better, so we are closing a little bit the breach with last year. Now we're still negative in the kitchen machines, but now we are improving. Also, we have to consider that we have put in place price increases, which are probably also influencing our volumes. But we are happy, numbers are getting better and positive now that we should go back to normal in kitchen machines again. Now I also realize that probably part of the negative performance of Kenwood in the first half was due to very high inventories at the end of 2014 in some key markets, notably France, for instance. And I think that now also stocks at trade are now back to normal. And I think that probably last year performance of Kenwood and in kitchen, the growth of kitchen was above 20%. Probably was also influenced by the very high level of stocks at trade level at the end of December. So I would say I'm more positive today on Kenwood and definitely positive on kitchen machines for the long run.
All right, very clear. Thanks a lot.
The next question is from Domenico Ghilotti of Equita SIM. Please go ahead, sir.
Good afternoon. First question is a clarification on the FX impact for next year. Did you say 50 million, 50, correct?
Yes, 50.
Okay. And then follow up with the other question. On the guidance, you are still in some way expecting some margin decline. But if I look at your 9-month performance, given the fact that you are your implied guidance on the FX impact is much lower in Q4 compared to Q3, I'm trying to understand what is forcing you to project to expect some decline in the profitability. And third question, working capital. You had a very, very strong performance in the first 9 months. I wonder if you can keep this kind of trend going forward. And the last question on the industrial margin. I'm trying to understand what was driving such a good performance in spite of the effects. Can you elaborate a little bit more on the actions that you have taken to bring the industrial margin basically stable or slightly up?
Okay, so about effects impact, I think it's clear now. Expectation is for a negative impact for about 50 million euros next year. In terms of second question was working capital. Indeed, we did very well. I have to say that it was a very strong air conditioning season. This usually happens only few times in a decade. So it was one of the best. I think the best season for after 2003. So I think that probably this helped a lot our working capital. I think that now we have reached a point which is can be, let's say, considered a goal for our group. So we will work, and we think this can be a level that we can maintain. Obviously, now we can have, let's say, better quarters or worse quarters. We can have better years or worse years. I think that looking back in the past 10 years, we have dramatically decreased the impact, the working capital on sales from about 40% in 2004 and 2005 to this level today. I think that we have completed a sort of, let's say, of a journey in improving our working capital. Now we will think we will stabilize around these levels with better years or worse years, better quarters, as said, or worse quarters. In terms of industrial margin, again, I would go back again to what I said in terms of EBITDA impact and items impacting the EBITDA. I think we could improve similarly the gross margin because of volumes, because of prices, because of some lower industrial costs to a certain extent. And obviously, coffee, the mix led by coffee makers, is very strong and very, very supportive of margin expansions.
Sorry, on the cost side, can you elaborate? Because I was surprised to see the contribution on the cost side also.
We have some lower costs due to oil is very cheap today.
Okay.
Steel is very cheap today. We are getting benefits from low raw materials, and also we have been able to negotiate due to our, let's say, size and bargaining power with our suppliers better conditions. So
okay.
I think that the result is really the sum of many different actions. And I would say that prices, as said, improvement in cost, and a strong mix. Also, we are very happy about coffee. I make no secret that coffee is a tremendous, say, asset for De'Longhi.
Mm-hmm.
We think coffee is a segment which can deliver secular growth in the future. I expect, let's say, poor coffee makers to be substituted by good coffee makers in the future. And obviously, with our leadership, we will continue to benefit from this trend and see, hopefully, improvements also in our mix with more fully automatic coffee makers and more Lattissimas sold. Obviously, we are also strongly supported by Romania. Today, we have invested in the past years in the new plant in Romania. It was a very good decision, very timely decision. Today, we can get very good synergies and cost reduction due to the investment in Romania.
Okay, and last follow-up. May I ask you, looking at 2016, basically, you are facing the same kind of FX headwind compared to this year. Should we assume that you are planning similar price actions, so you are trying to offset the FX headwind with price?
Yes. Yes, absolutely. I think that next year the priority will go to offsetting the cost increases due to the currencies. We are discussing budgets in this month, and then the next month we will finalize probably the budget. And obviously my priority is offsetting this cost. So I think that today I'm more interested in in protecting the margins and asking probably less growth to the markets for next year. I want to give a clear goal. I don't want to ask markets to stronger growth and margin expansion at the same time. My priority next year will go to margin protections, which maybe is a little bit unusual for De'Longhi, where for many years the goal was growth and the paradigm was very simple because we were not, let's say, hit by very strong negative FX headwinds. But I think that the group has proved this year that we have pricing power, that we can offset a very strong negative headwinds. I think that is a very solid performance in terms of margins in the 9 months.
Okay. Thank you.
The next question is from Anna Patrice of Berenberg. Please go ahead, madam.
Yes, hello. Thank you for the information already provided. A couple of questions from my side. In first half of the year, the automated coffee makers were up, I believe, 20%. What is the current growth, and to what extent do you think it could be also driven by possible restocking at the trade side, or do you also see strong sell-out data, and what would be your expectations for the remainder of the year? Second question is regarding the Q4. Basically, you will have quite high comparison basis. And also last year in Russia, there was a lot of pre-buying. So could you remind us how much of last year growth was due to extraordinary performance in Russia? And how do you see the current development in Russia? And to what extent it can subdue your growth in Q4 this year? Another question, how do you see the competitive landscape? Asset has reported also very strong numbers. They were also implying that in some markets they are gaining market share. I don't want you to comment on SEB, obviously, but maybe to give a bit more data, how do you perceive their competitive landscape in your key countries? Another question is on performance in the U.S., how this is developing also in regard to the coffee makers, and how advanced or what are your comments on planned launch of Braun in the U.S. next year? Thank you.
Okay. So the first question was about fully automatic growth. Also, the third quarter is strong for fully automatic coffee makers. The growth is around 20%. We think that the market, the fully automatic market, is growing at a lower pace. We are growing our market share again. So I think that probably the natural trend in fully auto should be around 10% without market share expansion. I think that the stocks at trade level are average. I don't think anybody is overstocked, and we see consistent deliveries on a daily basis, on a weekly basis. So I think that we see no change in trend for that, which is positive for us. Quarter four, I agree. Very, very challenging comparison. I think that with standard, let's say, with the FX headwinds, we would say if the headwinds are not as bad as in the third quarter. I think the headwinds in exchange rate in the third quarter were very, very negative. Despite the tough comparison, we can predict. We could predict, obviously, a margin expansion also in quarter four. So I'm positive. I see October as being a good month. sales were positive, mix was positive. This is leading to, let's say, hoping that we can deliver expansion also in the quarter, in the fourth quarter, despite the very high comparison with last year. In terms of competitive landscape and Russia, okay, let me comment on Russia. Agree, last year Russia was strong for us. I think that Russia maybe is getting better. I think that we had a very negative first half in Russia in terms of general market conditions. Then in the last months we had bad months, but also we had good months, better months. So I think now probably is a turnaround moment for Russia. So probably I think that the market conditions are getting better. So I think that even if we have a tough comparison because of the good performance last year, maybe the easing of the situation in Russia can help in beating last year performance in Russia. So I'm also rather positive on that. Again, everybody is fighting to gain market shares and sell more. I think that I don't know much about what are the SEB comments on the market shares. I'm happy with what we're doing. We're doing better in ironing with Braun. We're doing well in general in cooking, and we're doing phenomenal in coffee makers. So also in the seasonal products, we are doing better than last year. So I'm very happy with the group performance. And frankly, again, I will continue to say I'm really very happy that the group is doing very well in coffee, because coffee is the segment, product segment that will probably deliver the high growth rates in the small domestic appliances over the next years. So I am happy that the group is investing in coffee and outperforming the competition in coffee. With regard to the USA and Braun, next year is the year of the relaunch of Braun. Obviously, we have expectations. I think that we will see some positive numbers from on the top line, on the revenues. Probably for next year, you have to expect some positive impact on the revenues. We will have also investments in marketing investment. The first year will be a year on investment for us. But we are very happy to have Braun as a brand. It's the first time that the group, the Longhi, can count on a very a brand with a very strong awareness in the United States. And we will invest behind Braun, and I think it would be another engine for the growth of the group. And although we have to expect in the first year sort of a dilution, because the A&P investment will be obviously very heavy.
Sorry, and follow up on this one, what kind of dilution would you expect? Do you mean dilution on the group level from the high marketing?
No, not at a group level. I mean, on the U.S. market.
Okay. And then what kind of, in the midterm, what kind of potential do you see for Braun in the U.S. in terms of the sales potential? And also, do you think that in terms of profitability, it could be as profitable market for you as other markets, as European markets, or it's structurally less profitable market? And then follow up on the Q4. You guide for 50 million negative foreign exchange impact this year, so it means only 8 million negative impact in the Q4 this year, right? But that compares to almost 20 million negative foreign exchange impact last year. Is that correct, or I'm missing something?
Okay, no, yes. Obviously, it's not easy to predict the impact of exchange rates. It may vary from the mix, let's say, more products coming from China or coming from Europe. It may vary also on the markets, say more sales in, say, Middle East and North America versus more sales in Russia or Ukraine or maybe Europe. So this is not easy to predict. At the time being, I would say 10 million is a fair guess. And I think that with a 10 million negative impact, I'm confident, again, to go back to the comments I made before on quarter four, I'm confident that we should beat, despite the tough challenge last year, quarter four performance. If the headwinds should be higher than that, maybe it would be more difficult to beat last year, performance. On Brown or Norman, I don't like to, frankly, to give guidances on United States on Brown. I think that the group can continue on, say, in the long term to grow between 5% and 10%, and I think that Brown is a very strong asset, and United States can be a strong asset to help us to achieve our goals. So I'm positive. It's a great potential. It's a good opportunity, but I don't want to give any indication in detail for United States or Brown in the United States.
Okay, thank you.
The next question is from Andrea Bonfa of Banca Aletti. Please go ahead, sir.
Hello, good afternoon to everybody. I got a very simple question. You already mentioned that you want to offset part of the of next year Forex impact with price increases. Is that possible to have an absolute magnitude, or how much do you expect to recover of that 50 million impact through price increases? In which product categories are you planning to apply them? Thank you very much.
Simple. No, we want to recover all. We want to recover all, so we want to recover 50 million euros.
Okay, and that will be recovered across the board or some specific product categories where you...
I think this is part of... I don't want to comment on that. I mean, obviously, the sum of all the price increases by segment or by market will bring hopefully 50 million. Obviously, this is already a challenge. We have proved that this year we can do it, and this is making me confident that we can do it also next year. But again, obviously, it's a challenging scenario, so I cannot promise that we will hit 100% our target, but we will aim to that target.
Great, thank you very much.
The next question is a follow-up from Domenico Ghilotti of Equita SIM. Please go ahead, sir.
Yes, my follow-up is on your comments on Q4, on your previous question, because you were commenting that you are expecting some margin expansion in Q4, if I'm not wrong. You are basically almost flat in the first 9 months, so I don't understand the end of guidance that is a bit more prudent, because you are not seeing room for margin at the same level than last year. So what I'm missing, just some prudent stance on the full year guidance, or?
Maybe I wasn't clear. Our goal is to have an EBITDA expansion.
EBITDA expansion.
In absolute value.
Okay.
So EBITDA margin might be dilutive.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, I think because of exchange rate, could be dilutive.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Let's say.
Now it's clear. No, obviously. Okay. Okay. And the last question is. On the performance in the main areas, could you provide the performance at constant currency? Because I saw, in particular in the Middle East, some weakness, and I'm trying to understand underlying reason.
No, you're right. I think that I'm very happy with the sales performance for the group. Probably the weakest area is Middle East. This is due to market conditions in some of the main markets. Instability, it's quite unstable. We all know what's going on there, and also probably also Saudi, due to maybe very low oil prices, is suffering a bit. So the market is less buoyant, less strong than before. So let's say, given let's say the uncertainties in some of the markets, plus let's say the slowdown in Saudi because of let's say the oil prices, today MEIA is not performing as the other market and as last year.
Okay, if you have also the cost and currency performance for the other reason, that would be helpful. But anyway,
sorry, can you repeat it? Sorry,
I mean if you can share also the cost and currency performance for the other region, would be helpful. But otherwise, no problem.
Constant currency performance. I'm sorry, I don't have it handy. We should maybe with Marco Visconti,
okay,
and Mr. Mischeli, they can provide you with more details.
Okay, thank you.
The next question is from Luca Bacoccoli of Banca IMI. Please go ahead, sir.
Hi, good afternoon, everyone. Just a couple of questions from my side. The first one is on, again, 2016. As I was wondering if you can give us an idea of the cost savings that you expect next year, given the fact that this item was quite important in 2015 in order to protect the profitability. And the second one regards the balance sheet. You are going probably to end this year with a huge cash position. And I was wondering if you are already evaluating the opportunity of either increasing the dividend payout or paying a jumbo dividend in order to have a more efficient financial structure. Thank you.
Okay, so obviously we will have some efficiencies and better costs next year. This year, as said, we had a help in lower costs, approximately 10 million in the first 9 months, which obviously can grow in the 12 months. Maybe can be around say 15 million for the let's say the 12 months. So I expect that we should aim to a similar help in 2016.
Sorry, which are driven by basically lower input cost and efficiency from the Romanian plants?
Yeah, not just related to Romania, but obviously Romania is a big portion,
okay,
but also efficiencies in our Chinese plants or our Italian plants.
Okay.
Then cash, yes. I'm particularly pleased with the cash generation for the 9 months. I think that is no surprise because the group has really delivered a very strong cash generation over the last years. So it's like a very strong pillar of our equity story. We will have cash. I would expect De'Longhi to be more in M&A rather than jumbo dividends.
Mm-hmm. We know that.
The next question is a follow-up from Andrea Bonfà of Banca Aletti. Please go ahead, sir.
Hello, thank you for taking my question again. I'm let's say returning on your intention to recover your forex impact through price increases and some comments that you made before on the fact that next year your focus will be on recovering say, profitability vis-à-vis volumes. So is that possible in this context to have an idea of which kind of volume growth are you aiming for next year, taking into account all these aspects? Is it more on the low single digit, or is it, or do you expect also for next year to grow like 2015, which is going around 7 to 8% or even better? Thank you very much.
It's a very good question, very difficult answer. I think that, okay, 2015 is a very strong year. So we will grow, let's say, in the higher side of our guidance. So the organic growth will be very strong. So usually, I would say, following a very strong growth year like this year, considering that the main goal for the group is to recover profitability, I would assume that maybe volume would be less strong than this year. So it's possible that we will grow, in the low side of our goal, which is between 5 and 10. Obviously, given the priority, I think that we could also be happy if we recover fully the margins, also with maybe a slightly lower growth in below our usual long-term growth targets of 5-10%. But also on the table, we should consider that we are in coffee makers and in segments which are demonstrating secular growth, and the trend is still very strong. And frankly, I see no slowdown in this trend. So why should we settle for lower figure? Frankly, today, with the visibility we have, with a backlog and portfolio, we can't predict what will happen next year. But I frankly see that we are focusing in very strong and solid business segments. The company is performing well. So I think that I would still expect growth. And so maybe below this year, which is really a very strong year, but still to deliver growth in terms of volumes.
Thank you very much.
As a reminder, if you wish to register for a question, please press star and one on your telephone. For any further questions, please press star and one. We have a follow-up question from Luca Bacoccoli of Banca IMI. Please go ahead.
Yes, hi. Once again, you mentioned the M&A angle, and so I'm forced to ask you if you have some update to share with us. In the sense that if you see something moving in the competitive landscape in a more favorable way for you.
No, I think okay. We're talking to potential targets. We are assessing what are the market opportunities, but frankly, today we have nothing to announce, and I don't expect even to have an announcement in the next, 3 months or very shortly. So we will continue to work on M&A. I would like probably to, and thank you for the question, because I think that it's not easy to find good targets. Mm-hmm. Not easy to find good targets, and we are very selective because we want strong brands, strong products. Usually, we want leaders. We want the global leaders as a target, or companies that may become a global leader in the future. So we are very, very selective, and. So the keyword is selective. So we are selective, and we want to really to be consistent in our acquisition strategy with our past say acquisition strategy and our company mission to have leading brands, leading products, and potential global leaders. We're less interested in regional players or smaller regional players.
Okay, thank you.
The next question is a follow-up from Anna Patrice of Berenberg. Please go ahead.
Yes, hello. Some follow-up from my questions. First of all, on Romania, can you remind us what is your current capacity utilization there now, and do you plan any capacity increase in the near-term future? A second question is on the, again, price increases. Can you remind us when the last time you have implemented the price increases and when they will be, when those should come into effect? And when do you, if you follow, you plan to follow up with the price increase, when that should happen? And then the last question is on your relationship with Nespresso and Dolce Gusto guys. If you think that there will be any more models that you will produce in-house regarding the Dolce Gusto, and do you see any increase in competition for the partnership with Nespresso coffee makers? Because, for example, this year I saw that KitchenAid is becoming a bit more active. So just how things are here. Thank you.
Okay, yes. So first question about Romania. Okay, I think the last conference call or some time ago, we said that we were at about two-thirds of the capacity. Obviously, we are now using more and more the factory, the growth of fully autos and coffee machines, and also the startup of Braun in Romania is now they are utilizing more the capacity of the factory. We expect to invest more to expand the capacity of the factory. So very soon, probably next year, we will announce a new 3-year plan, a new investment in capacity for Romania. Has not yet been defined, but we think we will be in the position to announce it probably in the second quarter 2016. In terms of price increases, we will have to increase prices again. We give our markets a bit of flexibility when to do it, so it may start, let's say, from January and till the end of the year. So the point is, we have to recover about 50 million. Say we can get some help from efficiencies, as said before, but we will have to recover the difference between, let's say, the negative exchange rates and the efficiencies, and we will give the markets a bit of flexibility in when and how to do it. Then, in terms of new products,
Can I interrupt you? Because I think that during the first half year results, you already said that in some cases you were implementing some price increases that should protect the margins in the second in the first half next year.
Oh yeah, in some markets we are already increasing prices now. In we have increased in October and November.
Okay.
Frankly, this is an ongoing process, and
okay.
in the last 2 years or in half, we are constantly revising our pricing strategy.
But do you also do it in the European market? So
also in the European markets. Also in the European markets.
Okay.
In terms of new products, particularly related to Nespresso, Dolce Gusto, I can't disclose anything before, say, the launch. What I can say is that now we are partner with Nestlé also in the new tea makers in Perfect Tea, and we have launched in France Perfect Tea, and I think is a great addition to our product portfolio.
Sorry, and do you produce those, or you are the distributor?
No, we are acting as distributors today.
Okay.
Mr. De'Longhi, gentlemen, there are no more questions registered at this time.
Thank you. Thank you, bye-bye.